Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to perldavid.com. And it is the beginning of our second hour of Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams pregame here at The Score. But we're not really here at The Score. We're here at Leader Bar at 3000 West Irving Park. Great spot on the north side. Got a good crowd in here. Plenty of high-def screens everywhere to come on out. Watch the game with us tonight. Patrick Manley will be here. I'm here. I'm Hub Arkish. We'll have Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams coming in. They'll do the post game with me, and they'll be here to watch the game as well. Our thanks to our friends at Miller Lite for making this all possible. We've got Miller Lite specials brought to you by Miller Lite Hold True. So come on out to Leader Bar again, 3000 West Irving Park Road. And we're going to go back to the phone lines now and welcome in another special guest. Rich Hammond is on the Rams beat for the Orange County Register and good enough to check in with us today to give us the view from the other side. And, you know, Rich, a lot of people here in Chicago kind of poking themselves, saying that it hasn't been this fun in a long time. We're not used to being this good. Bears not nearly this good at 8-4 as you've got the Rams out there at 11-1. I got to believe it's been a fun year for you guys on that beat so far, too.
Yeah, it has. And obviously, you know, they got a taste of it last year when the Rams, you know, surprised a lot of people and made the playoffs. So I think expectations in L.A. were probably a little bit higher than they were in Chicago at the start of the season. But even having said that, I don't know whether anybody, you know, predicted them to be 11-1 at this point and sitting atop the NFC. So it's always harder when you do have those expectations. But credit to Sean McVay and to the players for meeting them thus far. But another tough game tonight.
Rich, one of the storylines is the weather. You know, the Southern California team coming here to Chicago. And before we had you on, we were talking about here in Chicago today was kind of like a spring day to us. I believe the Rams did a walkthrough yesterday. And I guess my question is, how much has that been discussed? Or let's start with the weather being an issue inside the locker room. How much is that discussed? Are they even thinking about it? And then two is them having a walkthrough. Is that a normal thing for the Rams to do on a Saturday before a game?
Yeah, it is, especially when they have to travel a little bit. I mean, I won't give you the long, boring story, but, you know, when it's a close game, they might only fly on Saturday, but they flew in here on Friday and got a chance to do it. Yeah, the weather, they're certainly aware of it, and you want to be aware of it. It is an element. It is something that you have to prepare for. But the only thing is, on the other side of it, is they've done this a couple of times. They played in Denver about 6 weeks ago when it was 25 and there was some snow, and they played up in Seattle when it was kind of unseasonably cold, too, a few weeks ago. So, yeah, it's never the same when you're actually getting into a game. But I think just based on those couple experiences, they at least know, you know, how to dress and how to prepare and, you know, kind of how to get yourself through a game when it's going to be really cold out there.
Rich, we're going to walk through both sides of the ball with you. We won't hit on every player, obviously, but just try and set this up for our listening audience, who, of course, are primarily Bears fans here in Chicago. And where I want to start, there is so much star power on this Rams team on both sides of the ball. It's easy to see why they're 11-1, but maybe I'm just not listening to the right shows or reading the right places. It seems like I just don't hear that much about Todd Gurley, who is absolutely, I think he's the MVP right now in the NFL. Man's got 19 touchdowns. He leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage with 1675. He is the dominant player in the NFL, let alone on this Rams team, and it's almost as if folks take him for granted sometimes.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that. I just before you called, I was sitting there just doing a note before the game about those touchdowns and about how he's actually on pace. He's actually already matched last season's touchdown total with 19. And he's actually on pace for more yards from scrimmage than he had last season when he was the offensive player of the year. So, yeah, I think maybe we get lulled a little bit just by the consistency of it. The weird thing for me with Todd is, and I've even noticed it sometimes myself, is during the games, you know, I will sit there in the press box and think, well, you know, Todd's been kind of quiet today. You know, it really hasn't put up, it really hasn't done a whole lot. And then I look down at the stat sheet at the end of the game, and he's got 120, 130 yards from scrimmage. So it's one of those things where he's just kind of so consistent with it that sometimes maybe you don't notice it or don't appreciate it. And then the other thing is, you know, the Rams passing game has just gotten so much attention too, and Jared Goff putting up big numbers, even bigger than he did last season. So I think that's kind of a tendency too, is, you know, we all look at kind of the dazzling big pass plays and maybe don't appreciate the run game as much, but certainly I agree with you. I mean, this year in the league, there's so many great MVP candidates, and, you know, we could go through all the names, but to think that Todd Gurley isn't the most valuable player on this team, at least on that offense, I'd have to disagree. I think he certainly is.
Rich, let's talk about the guys up front then. He is amassing all those yards, and you have to have some pretty good offensive linemen in front of you to do that, and a strength of the Bears is the D-line with Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. But back to their O-line, or your O-line, the Rams O-line, is their success coming from Aaron Cromer and Sean McVay and their scheme, or are the guys that good?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, there's a big upgrade before last season when they bring in Andrew Whitworth and John Sullivan. Those are two veteran guys who certainly knew what they were doing. But, you know, Aaron Cromer has come in, and, you know, you look at a guy like Roger Saffold, who had been in the league a few years and had some success. He was a starter. But it just really was transformed under Aaron Cromer in that scheme to the point where, you know, Rodgers into his 30s now, 30 years old, and he's having the best success he's ever had in his career. And the other thing is just the consistency with those guys. I mean, you can talk about individual talent, but we're going on, you know, almost a second full season where nobody has missed a game because of an injury, which is really, I mean, a lot of that is luck. You never know when somebody can turn an ankle or something like that. But the consistency that those guys have been able to play with, all five guys, every snap basically, every game certainly, that they've really developed a continuity and just a great flow with each other, really starts with Andrew Whitworth, a great leader on that line and a guy who's just stabilized the whole thing. And then all down the line, I mean, they plug in Austin Blythe at the start of the season as kind of a fill-in because they had a guy suspended. And then, you know, Blythe takes over and has been one of their best linemen. You know, Rob Havenstein at right tackle, guy not a lot of people talked about before this season, and he's had another great year. So yeah, I think it says a lot about Cromer that he can come in and just find guys and put them in the right spots and coach them up. And then again, just that consistency has allowed them to play very, very well together.
More quick note on that group. I last year, they give 3 years, $45 million to the 36-year-old Andrew Whitworth. And I'm thinking, hey, he's been a great player in Cincinnati, but what the hell are you doing? And, I mean, yeah, you could argue he's been the best left tackle in football last year. And this year, now 37 years old.
No, absolutely, and exactly what they needed, because you look at Jared Goff. Everybody talked about Jared Goff's rookie season, that half season where he played, and it was just awful. But you look at the tackle play on that team. I mean, they had Greg Robinson, who was a former number two overall pick, but that guy was just, I mean, he was like a window. You know, he couldn't block anybody, and you, when you put a guy like Andrew Whitworth in there, the difference was just astounding. And so, yeah, I think everybody had the same kind of concerns or questions that you did about giving that much money to a guy that old. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys in the league who would love to be 37 years old and playing the way that Andrew Whitworth is playing.
Hey, Rich, a guy they don't talk about much at all is Tyler Higbee, number 89, the tight end. He's kind of an extension of those guys. And Sean McVay uses him very interestingly. He'll put him on the front side and let him double team with a tackle. He'll peel him back to cut off the backside. Give me your scouting report on him, and what is he asked to do exactly for that offense, and why do you not hear much about him? Because it seems like he's like a little cog in there that makes it go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Very, very underrated player for those reasons that you just said. I mean, they have two guys that they like. They like Gerald Everett also. So they're splitting. It's about a 75-25 split in terms of Higbee and Everett getting those snaps, because McVay usually only puts one tight end on the field. He's pretty consistent with his formation. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about all the weapons that they have, and Higbee certainly gets lost in the shuffle, because he's doing a lot of that dirty work, particularly for Todd Gurley in picking those yards up. But you know what? He's a guy who can flash with his hands sometimes. The tight ends have not been used in Sean McVay's offense as much as we thought they would be, because obviously Sean developed kind of his name as a tight ends coach and working with those two guys in Washington who had so much success. And we kind of thought he would come here and, you know, that the tight ends would just explode and put up these big yardage. But they really haven't. But you've seen it a little bit more as the season goes on. He starts to throw to Higbee a little bit more. Gerald Everett's a guy who can flash down the field, really doesn't have Higbee's blocking skills, at least not yet. So you see Higbee out there doing a lot of the dirty work, and eventually he gets rewarded with a 20-yard catch after a while. But Jared Goff has a lot of trust in him, and he's a guy who I think is just progressively getting better.
Visiting with Rich Hammond, who covers the Rams for the Orange County Register. Rich, from the outside looking in, wide receivers, a bunch of really good football players, nobody who jumps out at you as special. Obviously, the Brandon Cooks trade has been a big deal. He's the first player in NFL history to have three consecutive 1,000-yard receiving seasons now with three different teams. Robert Woods, a guy who's a very good football player, but didn't make a huge impact in Buffalo before coming over here as a free agent. And then you lose Cooper Kupp a few weeks ago. How much has the loss of Kupp affected this receiver group? Is Josh Reynolds or anybody else stepping up right now to make up the difference?
Yeah, it hasn't affected them, at least not yet, as much as you think it might. I mean, what they've done from a scheme standpoint, a lot of the time is kind of put Woods inside in that position that Kupp used to play. Kind of, a slot receiver kind of role, although they move guys around quite a bit. But Woods, he's a pretty good fit in that spot, and that allows them to play Josh Reynolds outside. So Robert Woods, I mean, you talk about all the guys they've signed and brought in. That was not a real high-profile signing, and if anything, people wondered, why they gave him so much money. But I mean, you look at some of those Buffalo teams that he played on, and some of the quarterbacks who were throwing him the ball. I mean, Kyle Orton, a guy that's known around here, and the laundry list of quarterbacks who didn't work out there. So it's not like he ever had a really great quarterback or a really great scheme there in Buffalo. And he's really come here and just been kind of an all-around stellar guy. I mean, not the fastest, not the strongest, not the tallest. But he can go out there and make big catches when you need them. So he's been an important cog, especially after losing Cooper Kupp, because he can slide over into that spot. But yeah, just really good balance. Everybody fits together real well. I mean, obviously they have the real speed guy in Brandon Cooks who can stretch the field. And then when you had Cooper Kupp there, he was another guy who was just very sure-handed, could run every route, make every catch. So a little surprising to me that the production has not dipped with Cooper Kupp being out, but could be something down the line. It could be tonight, or it could be during the playoffs when you face defenses that are a little bit tougher and you don't have that option in Cooper Kupp. But so far, they've done a pretty good job of moving the ball without him.
Rich, I want to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Everybody knows about Sue and Donald, but I want to ask you about Dante Fowler Jr., who was added a couple weeks ago. What kind of impact, if any, has he had on this defense?
Yeah, progressively better in every game, I think. And that was the one thing that Rams defense, I mean, you could talk about, there were pretty high expectations there at the start of the season. And I don't think they've met them. And one thing that was the big issue was that outside pass rush. They traded or cut a couple guys after last season, and they thought they could kind of fill roles internally, and they really didn't. I mean, they struggled, especially on that side, to get some consistency out of the pass rush. So they bring in Dante Fowler. It's an expiring contract. They gave up two mid-round draft picks, so a pretty low risk. But I think progressively, week to week, he's gotten better and better. And he was very good last week in Detroit. He's a guy who's kind of thought of as strictly a pass rusher. You know, maybe those other skills not really refined just yet. But he made a couple nice plays on the run also. He made a nice play in coverage. So I thought that was his best all-around game. And, you know, what he does, Aaron Donald has talked about it too, and everybody knows, you know, just when you're an offensive line and you have to keep an eye on that guy coming from the outside, it helps those inside guys too. So I think last week against Detroit was a perfect example of how, you know, Dante Fowler bringing some pressure can help out Aaron Donald and maybe vice versa. So curious to see if that can carry over, if he can still, you know, even reach another level perhaps. But so far, I think he's probably exceeded the expectations before the trade.
You can follow Rich Hammond on Twitter at @Rich_Hammond if you want to really keep up with the L.A. Rams. Rich with the Orange County Register. I know we got to let you run in a minute or two. Real quick, if we can, of course, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers. You've got three Pro Bowl-level players in the secondary with the corners. Aqib Talib just back from IR. Marcus Peters, the big acquisition this year. LaMarcus Joyner. Linebacker is a little more nondescript. Alec Ogletree, of course, moved on to the Giants. The Bears got a belly full of him last week with a couple picks. At the end of the day, Rich, this defense has not really equaled the sum of its parts this season. They have struggled a bit. They're middle of the pack statistically in almost every category. What do you chalk that up to?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. You know, Aqib basically has missed more than half of the season. He missed eight games because of an ankle injury. So I think that really threw off the balance in the secondary. Their idea of kind of having co-number one corners with him and Marcus Peters obviously went out the window. And then a lot got put on Marcus Peters' plate because he basically had to travel with the number one receiver every week. And then the other guys who filled in for Aqib Talib, it was a pretty steep fall off there. So I think that was one issue, obviously now resolved because Talib is back. But the run defense is something that was surprisingly, it's been surprisingly porous all season. And, you know, they have those very fierce pass rushers up front when you talk about Donald Sue, Michael Brockers. I mean, those are three very fierce guys when it comes to getting to the quarterback. But guys have been able to slip through. And then those linebackers, you know, use whatever word you want to use to describe them, nondescript or, you know, maybe not quite as high-powered as some of the other positions. There's been some, you know, quite a few three-yard runs that turn into eight-yard runs, nine-yard runs, and that adds up over time. Especially, you know, when you're playing some close games against teams that can run the ball. So I think it probably starts there. People look at the pass defense and when it gives up big plays, people, you know, are concerned about that. But you really have to shut it down up front. And I think that's one area where the Rams still could use some improvement going into the playoffs.
Rich, I got to ask you about my favorite phase, the special teams. The Rams have a great coach in John Fossil, and he dials up fakes. And great fakes at that. I guess my question is, how many has he dialed up so far this year? Because I know he has a big Rolodex, and I know he might want to show off tonight on national television. So I'm hoping he's already run a bunch, that he is like, I've already run them all. But where are we at with that?
Yeah, there's been a couple this year. And, I mean, Johnny Hecker, the punter, is the guy you've got to look out for because that guy's got a pretty good arm. He was a high school quarterback, and he can stand back there and throw a pretty good 20 or 25 yard pass on you. So it's always something that you have to look out for. The Rams pulled one out. I think it was against Kansas City. They did it pretty early in the game, and we all kind of looked at each other like, wow, these guys are really going for it. So that was the last one just a couple weeks ago. But yeah, they're good for one every handful of games. So who knows, big Sunday night, national TV and all that. Maybe it'll be another Johnny Hecker pass game. But yeah, John Fossil, a great special teams coach and a guy who really gets the most out of all those guys. So always a good unit.
Hey, Rich, we really appreciate your time this evening. As we let you go, just a quick thought. What is the perspective out on the coast right now about this game, about this team? What have you read as kind of the reaction amongst Rams fans, even Rams media, about where this Bears team is at and how much of a challenge this is for the Rams tonight?
Yeah, no, I think it really is. It's funny how you shape, you know, the season shapes up. You looked at it at the start of the year and you didn't necessarily think, you know, oh, Rams-Bears is going to be, you know, this great late-season matchup that you are looking forward to. But it really has. I think there's a lot of respect for that Bears defense out there and some concern because, you know, the Rams offense, they need to score points. They're used to scoring 30 points a game. They're used to getting out to a big lead in the first quarter. So I think there's some concern, especially with that strong Bears secondary and their penchant for creating some turnovers. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of Rams fans kind of on the edge of their seats, particularly in that first quarter, just to see how the Rams get going. Starts haven't always been great for them. The first quarter hasn't always been great. So I think everybody's very curious to see how those first 15 minutes go. And really, I'm just looking forward to a great game all around.
Rich, thank you so much. You've been generous with your time. We really appreciate it. That is Rich Hammond. Again, covers the Rams for the Orange County Register. You can also follow him on Twitter at Rich_Hammond. We are going to take a quick commercial break and then get back to your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Dial us up. We'd love to talk to you. And again, a quick reminder, if you're not sure where you're watching the game tonight, come on out and watch it with us. We're at Leader Bar, thanks to our friends at Miller Lite, 3000 West Irving Park. Couldn't be any easier to get to. Lots of Miller Lite drink specials out here tonight. Hope to see you here. We are back in just a moment after these quick words on the Score.
Yeah, he's a great player. Obviously been great for a long time and great player in this league, and we avoided him week one, and now we got to face him in whatever week we're in now, and can't even keep track of it, but it'll be fun. You know, I'm excited to get a chance to compete against him, and he's a great player, and it'll be a good challenge for us, but we're ready.
LA Rams quarterback Jared Goff talking about number 52 on the Chicago Bears. If I'm the quarterback of the opposing team, there's a lot of things I might say about playing Khalil Mack, but it's going to be great fun. Probably wouldn't be one of them. I wouldn't think. I get what he's saying. He's giving you the standard answer. But I got to believe it's not going to be great fun for him. Khalil Mack, we talked about it earlier in the show. He appears to me to be 80 to 90% of where he was prior to the injury. We talked to Greg Gabriel, who's our chief scout here at the Score. He agreed that, you know, best case that he's not 100% off that ankle sprain, which I don't think anybody ever did confirm, whether it was a high ankle sprain or a regular ankle sprain or, you know, for whatever that's worth. Maybe, you know, the juices get going tonight. Maybe tonight is the night where we see the guy. And by the way, he's been really good the last couple weeks, still getting a sack here, a sack there.
The level that we were talking about, the level he played at the first four games of the season was ungod. I think us in Chicago were like, holy, who is this guy?
Well, he changed each of those games. Yes, I mean, he literally changed each of those games. Now he's been making some good plays for you. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, but he hasn't changed a game in a little while, and it sure would be nice if that happened tonight, because on the other side, you're going to see a guy who changes the game almost every week in Aaron Donald. To have 16.5 quarterback sacks from a defensive tackle, that's almost unheard of in the NFL.
This guy, when you put on the tape, I went back and watched the Lions game last week, and when you start watching the tape, I was like, all right, I'm going to evaluate the defense. So I put it on to evaluate the defense. Next thing I know, I've watched 15 to 20 plays in a row of just Aaron Donald and fast-forwarding to the next play and forgetting to watch the other 10 guys because he's that fun to watch. He's that impressive on the field. He makes that big of a difference. And they've got a big game plan today. Harry, he's standing on the offensive staff, have a big game plan of figuring out how to slow this guy down.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Chicago Wolves. Give the gift of live sports this season with the Chicago Wolves Holiday Pack. Each pack includes tickets to the game of your choice, merchandise, food, and free parking all at one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. And part of the problem, Pat, I know you saw as you watched that tape, normally with a guy like this who is, for the most part, going to pick a gap, going to try and penetrate on every play, is you're going to run right at him. The problem with this guy is that he reacts so well is that you've only got a 50-50 shot, because if he picks the right side, run right at him, you're going to have a 3-yard loss.
And what he does so well, too, is we see Khalil Mack here mess with a guy's weight and throw guys on his back. He does that well to guards. And then he also can counter that. He understands how to counter it with speed, come back across the face. He understands formations and blocking schemes of where he's going to be attacked and how to counterattack that. You only get 16.5 sacks two ways, by being great and then preparing. And he prepares and he understands the game, and the game is slowed down for him because he already knows kind of what's going to happen in front of him. And then with his elite athletic ability, he's able to dominate.
Bottom of this hour being brought to you by New City's ArcLight. Discover New City and experience an exciting mix of shopping, dining, and entertainment right in the heart of Lincoln Park at Clybourne Avenue and Halstead Street. Parking is available, or take the Red Line to North and Clybourne. For more information, visit experiencenewcity.com. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. Normally, we'd be looking for Mark Grody right now, about now, but with the later kickoff this evening, 7:20 kick, the actives and inactives are not required for another 10 minutes or so. So we will visit with Mark in a little while. Again, you can give us a call at 312-644-6767. You know, one of the advantages, or one of the matchups, I should say, that I see an actual advantage for the Bears tonight, Pat, is that as good as this Rams offense is, none of these receivers are guys that you say, oh, I got to double team him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really good. I mean, Brandon Cooks has 1,000 yards.
He's got some speed.
Robert Woods is an excellent possession receiver. Cooper Kupp was really another great possession receiver until he tore that ACL. He's done for the year. There is not a corner in the league playing at a higher level than Kyle Fuller right now. This is not about the teams you've been playing or the schedule or anything like that. Every week he's gone out there and gotten more confident and more aggressive. And Prince Amukamara is still playing very well. And Eddie Jackson is playing very well. So, yeah, this Rams offense is scary. Todd Gurley, to me, I'm going to keep coming back to him because he's the guy. What I do worry about most for the Bears defense right now, Roquan Smith, you certainly can't complain about. I mean, I think you can see why this kid was the eighth pick in the draft. He is coming on fast in terms of playing the run, in terms of playing side to side. He'll both meet you in the hole or chase you down. But the one thing that we read a lot about coming out of Georgia is that he was also such a good athlete and excellent in coverage. He has not been particularly good in coverage. He's learning. He's learning the speed of the game.
Exactly.
He's learning the players he's playing against. And I'm sure the Rams are going to try and isolate Gurley on him. You know, and that is not going to be a favorable matchup for the Bears. I don't know what the other options are. I think the Bears are probably going to try and end up with Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos on Gurley. That's just in the passing game. Then you got to deal with him in the ground game. I don't worry as much about that. The Bears are, even though they've slipped a little bit the last couple weeks, one of the better run defenses in the NFL. So, I mean, Gurley can beat you anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as worried about him beating the Bears on the ground as I am him becoming the guy in the receiving game, even if Fuller and Amukamara are winning the battle against the wide receivers.
I'm 100% with you. And it'll kind of be Georgia on Georgia crime with Roquan Smith going against Todd Gurley. It'd be kind of a cool game for Roquan going against probably one of his Georgia idols that he looked up to when he would come back to the games in Athens. But they use Todd Gurley so well in this offense. Their first and second down, you're going to see Jared Goff under center quite a bit. They're going to run a lot of play action. They're either going to hand it off and they're going to run the ball, or they're going to run play action out of the same look over and over and over. So it puts the defense in a difficult situation. It puts them in conflict. They don't know whether it is run or pass. And then to go back to Todd Gurley, and what makes him so good is after the play action pass, you'll see Jared Goff kind of roll out a little bit. Then Todd Gurley's going to get out in the flat, and you're either going to have one-on-one with the linebacker or a safety, whoever has him in coverage. And he's like a receiver out there. He is very difficult to bring down. And then they use him so well in the screen game. They call plays, and all of a sudden hit you with the screen. And Todd Gurley's getting the ball, and he's one-on-one out in space. He's just a very dynamic back who can do it all. And you're right, that's going to be a big matchup for Roquan Smith or whoever is matched up with him.
All right, Pat, we're going to take a quick break before we get back to the phones. George out in Old Town, you're going to be next. The phone number, 312-644-6767. Line or two open if you all want to jump in. Or if you want to come and see us in person, we'd love it if you come out here. We are coming to you live from Leader Bar on the north side of Chicago. We're at 3000 West Irving Park Road, just about a mile and a half east of the Kennedy. We've got Big Cat Nolan on the way out. We'll be here for the post game. We're all going to be watching the game here together. 2-hour post game show after the game. Come on out, meet the guys, watch the game with us, and enjoy Miller Lite specials brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. We are back on the phones in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. Us being Patrick Manley, and I'm Hub Arkish. And you know, I just want to speak to our callers at the top of the show who were all panicked about Bears making the playoffs and all these other teams and everything. And listen, you got to win some games. I understand that. I am not putting the cart ahead of the horse for the Bears. But I've been sitting here watching the Eagles and the Cowboys. These are two exceptionally mediocre football teams. Cowboys' defense is pretty good, but I would love to see the Bears get one of these teams in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that would be a gift from heaven. I think the Bears would beat either one of these teams by a few touchdowns. Again, Cowboys' defense is pretty good, but this has been some pretty shaky football we're seeing.
Sure, when you watch all the shows, the NFL Network shows or the national shows, and they are all high on certain teams, and it was the Saints, it was the Chargers for a while, and next thing you know, they're losing, and they're struggling a little bit. Every team obviously is beatable on Sunday, but this is the time of year where you're truly going to find out how good you are. This December run is the most important to me, that you have to go into the playoffs just, you know, in full stride. And some of these teams do not look like they're in full stride. They're still trying to figure it out. And this game tonight for the Bears against the Rams could start that up. You know, they won five in a row before. Let's see if they can get on a roll here going into the playoffs. And you get that confidence going, you going in with a roll like that, with everybody firing on all cylinders, and you're healthy, look out.
You know, I guess I've got to apologize to some listeners. I don't really pay much attention to Twitter when we're on the air. I'm sure Twitter's all over me for it. I guess earlier in the show I called Wade Wilson. I tend to do that once in a while.
I have the text screen up here in front of me. They're all over you about that.
Well,
slip.
Probably deserve it. It's I guess I did it on TV earlier this week, too. Yeah, it's Wade Phillips. It's son of bum, guys. And you know, it's interesting. I look at this defense underperforming a bit, and certainly the Aqib Talib injury is a reasonable excuse. I don't think Marcus Peters has been as good as Peters had been prior to their acquiring him, with or without Aqib Talib. But the other thing is that Wade Phillips is a great 3-4 football coach who is coaching a 4-3 defense here. Now, you know, much like the Bears, you don't want to make too much of the base packages, because, again, the sub packages, they switch it up. But when you're a base 4-3, you don't get into a lot of 30 fronts when you go to your sub packages. When you're a base 3-4, you do. So he really is a bit out of his element with this football team, even though he did a great job with them last year. They're just not playing as well on defense this year. Hopefully Mitch Trubisky and Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and company can exploit that a little bit tonight. Let's get to the phones. George is in Old Town. George, thank you for dialing us up. How you doing?
He was a fun player to watch when he was doing his thing. And for the man-ups, one of the things that they say is the Bears secondary can't bring down those offensive backs. And I'm wondering, I remember back in the day, Plank and Fenzik, they used to tackle at the ankles, and it was kind of an art of tackling. Is that something we can see, Mango, today? Or do you think they'll man up and do that?
George, do me a favor. You got cut off right at the top. Who was the first player you were talking about when you came on with us?
I'm just talking about the defensive backs for the Bears, that they're saying that they can't bring down the halfback.
Okay. I don't know who's saying that. There's been some shaky tackling on defense all over the place. I know that Kyle Fuller does have a tendency to go low and not wrap up, and that'll hurt him once in a while. But for the most part, I think that Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos' tackling has been okay.
It's not up to par for me. I think if you go back and look at the Miami game, that showed that was their worst showing of the year. I think they're a little inconsistent. I don't think Adrian Amos has been as consistent as he's been in the past. You know, last year Pro Football Focus had him listed as the number one safety because he did his job well. He made all the tackles. He hardly let guys get by him. I do think Eddie Jackson struggles a little bit in tackling. I think that is his weakness. There's been times where Vic Fangio has talked about that in a coaching way in his press conference when Eddie Jackson's getting all the praise after all the great interceptions and great plays he's had. He said yes, but he's also got to get better, and he's kind of talked about that in a roundabout way about Eddie Jackson. So those two guys do need to get better. If you look at the big runs that Saquon Barkley had last week, they weren't there where they needed to be, and they didn't wrap up like they needed to be on those two big runs that bounced outside. So that's the big worry about these guys on the defense. I thought the defensive line up front last week did a pretty good job of holding the edges and keeping Saquon Barkley held up in the middle, and the next thing you know, he's popped out late, but that's a lot has to do with the safeties not tackling. So that, to me, they're okay, but they're not as good as they could be. I think they're better in pass coverage this year.
Pat, I want to take a second here. We get out on remote, and it's really more about the folks who make this show happen than us. I want to thank Adam Studzinski, who's been producing for us. We'll be with us for another 10 minutes or so before Tony Gill steps in. We've got Matt Doyle and Holt Erickson from Promotions here with us. They've got all the swag, guys. You want any of the free score stuff?
Whatever. I got a free pin.
Yeah, come on up and see Holt and Matt. Ray Elizondo is producing for us. He made his rookie debut a couple weeks ago at Aurelio's, and now he's like a trusted old veteran over there spinning
the dials.
No,
he's still a rookie. So. He's got to go get me water. And a beer later or something.
The hazing starts as soon as kickoff.
Exactly.
So Ray doesn't know about that yet, right. But we'll see.
Let him get by his first game.
All right, we're going to get back to the phones. By the way, guys, if you don't want to call us, come on out to Leader Bar. I don't know what just came out of the kitchen, but it smells so freaking good. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of the show.
I had some chili early. I got here early, and it was pretty good.
Come on out. We've got Miller Lite specials for you. Obviously, a full bar, whatever adult beverages you want to enjoy during the game. Lots of everywhere you look, great high defs, and the food just smells outstanding. Let's get to Bob, who's in Chicago Heights. Bob, how you doing?
I love the way
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, you're there. Say, I love your show and all that. And I'm just wondering why you think the Bears are going to win today, because they haven't played nobody.
All right, Bob, I'm going to ask you to stay on, and we're going to get an answer for you. Actually, Pat and I haven't made our picks yet.
No.
Greg Gabriel picked the Bears by a field goal. We're joined by Mark Grody now. We want to get Mark because he is live out at Soldier Field. We'll get back to the answer to your question. Actually, you know what, Bob? You're going to have to listen for the next hour. We make our picks at the end of the show.
That's right.
And I can't tell you why I think they are or not going to win.
Or lose.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll let you know that. But thank you for the phone call. And let's get to Mr. Grody. Mark, I got to tell you, man, Pat and I were talking about this earlier. The weather's too nice. This is supposed to be a big home field advantage for the Bears tonight. I don't know, since the sun's gone down, maybe it's gotten a little chillier out there, but it felt pretty good all day long.
It's really not that bad out here, although about 10 minutes ago, I was sitting on the bench next to Kevin Tolliver, who, of course, played his ball at Alabama, played in, sunny weather like a lot of these guys did. And I asked him about the weather in general, and he said, yeah, it takes a while to get used to, but I'm used to it now. And I said, all right, what about the L.A. Rams coming from Los Angeles? Do we, in the media, build that up too much? And he looked at me, and he said, nope. He said, they're going to feel it. So even though it's not biting out here, I think that the fact that it's between 20 and 30 degrees, that's still a little bit of a shock to the system of the L.A. Rams. But I will say it is, yeah, you're right, Hub. It's pretty comfortable and very, very little, if any, wind right now.
Yeah, Mark, the biggest advantage is practicing in that weather, because you get used to it. You mentally get used to it. You've run all your plays in that weather. You've handled the ball. I've long snapped. You've snapped it to the quarterback. The quarterback has thrown it, and the receivers catch it. And you get used to that hard ball. And yeah, it does make a difference. But the difference is because you practiced in it. So that'll start the game that way, where they'll be a little bit more comfortable. But I think with the weather it is, with no wind, there's no wind, right, Mark?
Yeah, no, not no wind factor at all. I'm actually watching Cody Parkey. Kick about 35-yard field goals right now with no issue towards the north. Back, that crew of guys, the kicker and punter, Pat O'Donnell and Cody Parkey and the rest of the crew, were out at Soldier Field again this week on Wednesday and Thursday. And it was really good for them because I just found out that the wind was vastly different on both of those days that they practiced out at Soldier Field. So, apparently, it was extremely helpful. Another thing, too, Pat, and I don't know if you can attest to this as well, but I was told that, in their studies of working here at Soldier Field, they said, you know what? The flags mean absolutely nothing. That they will not, maybe give you some sort of what's going on with the wind, but they said there's a lot more to it than just staring up at the flags and getting an idea of the kicking game.
That's 100% correct. The flags inside the stadium actually kind of give you an opposite feel of what the wind is doing. You have to look. If you look, I don't know where you're standing in this field right now. I'm sure the listeners are going to be bored with this. But if you're looking at out of the stadium in the northeast corner, there's an American flag out there, and that was the one that we kind of used all the time to get the direction of the wind. That's the one that Robbie always would go back to get his bearings and get comfortable.
Yeah. They kind of said the same idea. Oh, and back to the cold, too. Several players, Bears players and Rams players out here have come out here in their shorts. So that tells you that to them, 30 degrees, I suppose, is balmy. Some good news, too, not that people didn't know already, but, yes, Mitchell Trubisky will start for the Bears tonight. He was on the field for about 30 minutes or so, throwing every kind of throw, tight spirals from what I was watching, and he just retreated right before we started talking here back in backstage into the tunnel. So he looks like he's good and ready to go.
Now, Mark, I'm pretty sure those guys out there in their shorts, they just do that so NBC can get some B-roll, and then during the pregame, they show how tough they are. They'll all be out with sleeves and sweats in a little while.
Hey, yeah, we got actives, inactives.
Anything on the actives, inactives yet? I have not seen it on my screen.
Yeah, so the only one that kind of stands out a little bit, it's not shocking because he's had been dealing with an ankle injury, is Deion Bush. And, of course, he's a key special teams contributor. The list of guys inactive, I'm just looking at it on my phone here right now. Tyler Bray, inactive, of course. Kevin White, Deion Bush, Kylie Fitz, Rashawn Coward, Javon Wims, and Nick Williams. So really the only notable on there is Deion Bush, and I feel like we're beyond the point where it's notable that Kevin White shows up on the inactive.
Hey, Mark, going back to Mitch Trubisky, you know, he's playing, yes. But is he truly – what's your feeling? Is he truly 100%, or is he still playing a little injured?
I think he is, Pat, because I got the feeling from talking to him, you know, by his locker, that he was ready to go probably close to that second game that he missed. And I think that they were – I mean, as has been the Bears' mantra this year, that they have been just extra cautious when it comes to injuries. And this goes all the way back to Bourbon A, that there were guys that were out way longer than any of us thought they would be. So just from talking to him, just reading between the lines, I think he was anxious and ready to maybe even start last week. And they said, you know what, let's give you another week, man. We're not going to take any kind of chances. So, yeah, just reading that body language and then watching him out here today, I got a feeling that he is 100%. And I hope, you know, one of the things that was present in terms of the questions to Mitchell Trubisky, and justifiably so, is, you know, does he have to reel it in a little bit because, you know, he hurt himself running? And he admitted that he's been a little bit unorthodox with some of his slides, but that element of his game is so important to the Bears' success. They have had some huge first downs this year because of Trubisky's legs. I hope he doesn't reel it in any. I would agree with what the coaches are saying. I mean, it's just a matter of being smart, but that's such an important part of his game. I hope he's not hesitant at all.
You know, Mark, before we let you go, obviously this game would be more about what it says about the Bears' image around the league, if they're really ranked with the top teams, how they feel about themselves. Do you sense any kind of special excitement, motivation as you see some of these guys out there getting ready? Does anybody see maybe just a little bit more jacked up than usual during this pregame stuff?
You know, honestly, Hub, I'm looking for that, but I'm watching these guys go through their usual pregame routines. There's really nothing different. I would say this, and maybe it's just, you know, the distance between the teams and stuff like that. There's not as much fraternizing between the two teams. I'm not seeing that guys huddling up with the other team like we've a lot of times see. So that might indicate a little bit more seriousness, but yeah, I haven't really noticed anything different in any of the routines or any of the demeanors of the players out here.
Mark, finally, real quick, are you any closer to being a regular at the heater? Are they allowing you in there a little bit easier now?
I got to tell you something. I am literally within 5 yards of that heater right now, and nobody has told – here's what it is, Pat. I got to figure it out. Nobody has told me, yes, you are welcome to come over here by the heater, but I'll tell you what. When I have sort of moved in front of it, nobody is stopping me. So that's the point. That's progress for me. Nobody is stopping me from getting in front of this heater.
All right, Mr. Grody, we hope you enjoy the football game. We hope you enjoy the heaters. You have a good night out there, man. And we appreciate you checking in, as always. That is our very own Mark Grody. Mark, of course, our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score. You can also hear him during the broadcast of the game on the radio tonight over at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. He'll be with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Switch over there at kickoff. As soon as you hear the final gun, get right back here to 670 The Score for the best post game in town. Matter of fact, if you want want to come out and watch the game with us while we get ready for it. We are at Leader Bar, thanks to our friends from Miller Lite, our special sponsors tonight. We are at 3000 West Irving Park. Lots of Miller Lite specials. The food seems great. Come on out. Great place to watch the game tonight. We are going to take a quick break. Back with our final hour and 20. We got 20 bonus minutes tonight. We'll be back. Dan Pompeo, visit with us in the next hour. Back here in just a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.